Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast.
Yes.
A couple of best friends and Clipper credentialed media folks. Bring you Locked On Clippers 5 days a week.
7 a.m. you can listen to us.
Monday through Friday.
It's a pretty fun time. Pacific.
What a world.
Yeah, it's a good time. Good way to start the day.
Great way to start the day. To start your day off today, we are going to be looking at the Suns. Got a little preview going on there. We're going to talk about what we need to do well as what could go wrong in this one. Give you a couple of key matchups to take a look at.
Yes.
Important to note, this game is kind of crucial if we're looking to move up to two.
It is. I'm really excited for this game. It's going to be playoff basketball.
Yes. And we'll talk a little bit about the availability for the Clippers, but hopefully it's nothing too crazy in that area. It's also Wednesday, which means What You Say Wednesday. Every single Tuesday, poll goes out on Twitter. We want to know what you think. This one is all about who should start at the center position once Serge Ibaka returns to the lineup for the Clippers. This one was pretty lopsided in voting. Excited to kind of talk about what everybody had to say and dig into that. And then in shavings, Zach Lowe, ready to talk some Clippers.
The only person at ESPN who watches the Clippers, Zach Lowe.
Well, and young.
Well, sure. Right. That's fair. Obviously, yeah.
So we're going to talk about that, and then Patrick Patterson is having himself one heck of a day.
Oh, good times.
We're going to talk about that as well. But before we get into it, got to let you know, today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra.
Yes.
At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it, which I do.
Shout out to the Clobes, the Clobe heads.
My Clobes out there.
Oh, God.
So stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode.
You are Locked On Clippers. Your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Clippers versus Suns preview. Up to this point, the biggest game of the year.
Is it?
Absolutely. There's seeding implications. These two teams all like each other.
Clinching the season series over them wasn't the biggest game? Okay.
It wasn't.
Okay.
Because we're not going to be tied with this team, I don't think. Biggest question, can we beat this team three times in a row? Very difficult to do.
It's tough, but that's playoff basketball, baby.
Last time we played the Suns was Pat Bev's most recent appearance for the Clippers.
Yep.
Pretty weird. We played the Pelicans. That was Serge's most recent and the Suns. Bev and Serge are out. Kawhi Leonard, doubtful for this one.
Don't like that.
Not sure how many times in his career Kawhi has swung from doubtful to active and ready to play.
Yeah,
the
I
next
don't have those
day.
Numbers in front of me.
But I can't imagine it's very
high.
I
talk to my doubtful guy.
If he's still doubtful, I don't want him to play.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's right around the time period when he was going to be reevaluated. So it makes sense. I think that you have said basically this whole time that he most likely wouldn't appear in this Suns game.
Yeah, that was just a hunch.
So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Batum and Coffey, questionable. Batum did pick up a knock. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and maybe has been kind of playing through some accumulated stuff. So. Yeah. I mean, we might not see him. I don't know.
We also might not see Jay Crowder and Dario Saric. They're questionable for the Suns. If they play, expect to see some small ball flummoxing from the Phoenix Suns. But let's get into what we need to do well, which is just lock up the two seed.
Let's do it.
This is a big-ass game.
Look, this is, yeah, I mean, we won how many games and how short of a time? I mean, I think we're 17-4 in our last 21 games. Have not been able to move up.
No, still the three seed.
And this is one that we can directly, add a win.
We control this
column.
One.
Yes, and a loss to the Suns column. So this is big. This is big.
Energy has to be there from before tip off.
Yes.
We cannot.
Especially for this matchup, man. These are so weirdly physical and I don't want to say petty because it's better.
No,
than,
it's not petty. It's better more intense than, petty. Than that. Yeah. We have this is a big two game stretch. We have the Suns, then we have the Nuggets over the weekend. Yeah, I don't know. If there's some things that could happen where the Clippers Lakers first round matchup is a weird kind of a real possibility. So I hope they take care of business in this game.
Let's not get too carried away, all right?
What else do we need to do well in this one?
All right, so a huge thing is gonna be rebounding again. Look, the Suns are great at a lot of stuff. They're a bottom 10 team in offensive rebounding. They kind of prioritize getting back defensively. Clippers are 12 in offensive rebounding. So, above average.
Is that percentage?
Yes.
Got it.
Yes. We're also allowing the third lowest offensive rebounding percentage to opponents. Now, this didn't hold true last game. I believe we broke even in offensive rebounds. And DeAndre Ayton is going to be a problem on the glass all night. He snagged
He gives us problems.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He snagged more than a quarter of the Suns' total boards last outing. And he wasn't in that closing lineup, if I'm recalling correctly.
Oh, yeah, right. People were confused why he wasn't on the floor for that one.
Yeah, or like he was benched coming into it, but he was absolutely dominant. So that's going to be another thing to look out for, as well as just defending the paint. I know that our shot profile tends to lean kind of towards giving people mid-rangers, which is fine.
Yeah.
We allowed them 40 field goal attempts in the paint last game. They went 27 of 40. So it's not a shot that they're uncomfortable taking.
For sure.
And we lost points in the paint last one, 54 to 38. Once again, in a victory, but still, that's the largest margin that they edged out the Clippers in really any category.
Oh, wow. Paul George and maybe Kawhi are going to need a little help.
They both had massive games last
time. They combined for 60, 12, and 8 the last time that the Clippers played.
Massive games.
Rondo was the only other Clipper in double figures. He had 15 with 3 of 4 shooting from deep. So not totally an outlier, but a very good peak Rondo game in terms of outside shooting.
I think Morris is going to have a bounce back.
I hope so. Because it's hard to beat a team 3 times in a row, and it's going to be harder if, A, we only, quote-unquote, have Paul George. Someone else is going to have to score 20 points.
Yes.
If it's Paul George out there. And that's not a disrespectful thing to Paul George. The Suns seems very good.
Yeah. I mean, the key to that is just going to be to keep the ball moving well.
Yep.
Look, the Suns are really great at denying the pass. They allow like the second lowest amount of assists to opponents in the NBA. So it's going to be really difficult to generate good looks, but we have to stick with it. Last time we did out assist them, I believe we had 26 to 20 assists. And you know, like it was a huge part in getting everybody going, you know, like this was another game where our 3-point shooting, like they could not hang with it. They didn't have a chance.
Yeah.
We did a really good job keeping them off the 3-point line last game. They attempted only 24. They averaged 35 a game.
And this goes right into what could go wrong.
Yeah.
Which is the Suns and mostly CP3 and Jay Crowder, who is questionable, shoot better from three.
And Devin Booker, he was 0 of 2, I believe, last game.
Yeah. The Suns went 6 of 24.
Yeah.
From deep. CP3 just went 4 of 11. He missed all of his threes. He missed a handful of shots inside the circle, which were early.
Yeah.
And everyone was kind of like, this is uncharacteristic and a nice break for the Clippers.
Yeah.
Crowder shoots 38% from three on 6 attempts per game. He hit none of his 2 attempts.
Yeah, we did a really good job defending the 3-point line last game. I mean, if we cannot hold the same, that's definitely going to be difficult.
There's going to be a barrage at the beginning of this game, and the defense has to be completely locked in.
Yes. Yeah. Another thing is we have to be able to limit our turnovers. We have not been very disciplined in the last two games.
Yeah.
This is going to be super crucial against a hard-running team, especially some of those second-unit minutes. They got some quick guys out there. They just have the personnel to destroy you for mistakes.
For sure, 100%.
We limited it to 10 total turnovers last outing, which is really, really, really solid.
Yeah.
We still lost on the fast break, 14-5, which is not so terrible. It could have definitely been worse. But yeah, it's a team that would be happy to get out and running for any time you're making mistakes.
And if they're getting out and running, and our defense is tired or not playing well, we might get foul happy in this one.
Yes.
So the Suns shoot the second least amount of free throws per game as a team, but they shoot the second best percentage. So kind of the opposite of the Pelicans, which is funny.
Yeah, definitely.
If they can get into the bonus early, this is going to be a really hard night.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's a couple ways the Suns can win this game, but getting to the line in above average amount of times would be really helpful to them for winning this game, which I do not want to see. And that would be the Absolutely. Clippers giving them those opportunities.
Yes. Another thing that we can't do is really weather another poor shooting storm.
Oh, no. We got it all out against the Pels.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, we shot a combined like 47% from the corners. We shot 50% above the arc. It's going to be hard to do again. But yeah, I don't know. We just can't weather. It doesn't have to be 50% good, but it cannot be 30% bad.
Yeah, definitely. Key matchups real quick. Whatever combination of Paul George and Kawhi, if he's there, play defense on Chris Paul.
Yes.
In early April, PG and Kawhi had the majority of minutes guarding Chris Paul. I think Clippers fans were pretty psyched to see that in terms of like, oh, we're ramping up. We're having our guys guard their best ball handler. Like this is,
yeah,
this
absolutely. Is good stuff.
Chris Paul went 2-for-5 versus these two, which is more than acceptable. He didn't hit a three, and he only had one assist when guarded by these two. So if it's just Paul George, I'm still confident. Paul George is a very, very good defender. But that's going to be tough. That matchup is going to be huge. And on the other side of the ball, I mean, Chris Paul obviously isn't guarding Paul George or Kawhi. So I think it might just be Paul George. So he's going to have to be at his best ball handling wise too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be interesting because it could be a heavy load for Paul George, especially if Kawhi doesn't play. It's going to be another thing of how do we slow down Devin Booker? We held him to 24 last game, which, you know, maybe he isn't that impressive. He averages like 26.
I would say under his average.
It's under his average, which is solid. He only attempted two threes. Look, we made things difficult for him in terms of getting his shot off. He was still highly efficient against basically every defender. He shot 50% or better against every defender, except for Paul George, who held him to 1-of-3, limited possessions, but, you know, this is going to be a difficult, with no Kawhi, it's going to be a really difficult night for George. And another thing I'm looking for in matchups is I would like to see a better showing from Ivica Zubats.
Yeah.
He had the third worst plus minus of any Clipper in that win. He had 7-5. And, you know,
dismal.
There were times where he was kind of getting eaten up by
it. Yeah. This game without Kawhi is a toss-up right now. In a series, I think Clippers take it, obviously. But right now, I think tonight is a toss-up.
Yes, very much so. I mean, these teams are, obviously the standings show it, but like these teams are neck and neck in terms of...
In this moment.
Yes.
It's going to be a good one. Coming up, we're going to be talking What You Say Wednesday. But first, joy creates success. And this week's Michelob Ultra Player of the Week is Boogie Cousins.
Ooh, love it.
Shout out Boogie Cousins. Part of this is due to his elite charge taking and passing skills, which earned him a minimum contract with the Clippers. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
The vibes are good. Everyone's happy he's on the team. Part of this is also because he's very self-aware.
Yeah.
He had a great post-game quote after the Pels game. He said he's got to be the only center on a second 10-day contract that's getting doubled in the post.
Love it.
Let's pour a clobe out for Boogie Cousins. Yeah. Fantastic play and self-awareness. We love it.
His vibes are as good as Michelob Ultra.
There you go. Will his good play keep up? Who knows? What we do know is that Michelob Ultra has just 2.6 carbs and 95 cals. Hey, what a day. Wonder which Clippers player will be next week's Ultra Player of the Week. Michelob Ultra, are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy?
Okay, so we're back with What You Say Wednesday, which, in case you know, every single Tuesday we put out a poll on Twitter. We want to know what you think.
Yes.
On a given subject.
We do.
This one is all about the centers, and specifically, who should start once Serge returns. So, we ask Clipper Nation, do you want Serge to start once he's back for the Clippers?
Oof.
This one was very lopsided.
Smoked.
Look. No was the overwhelming majority, 79% of the vote.
Yep.
With just 21% of voters saying that yes, Serge should return to the starting lineup once healthy. Chuck, what do you have to say about all this? What do you have to say for yourself?
Okay, first of all, I agree with the majority. There was a bunch of good reasons in the comments on Twitter. I mean, I would vote yes, I think Zoo. Actually, you know what? I'm doing a mid-segment flip-flop.
Oh my God, what are you doing?
Because of the continuity issues and the fact that Serge has, and this is not in any way his fault, no experience playing with a mostly bench unit that we really use anymore. And Zoo does, and obviously has shown that he can thrive in kind of any role.
Mm-hmm.
And the playoff rotations are shorter, so he's going to be playing with more starters anyway.
Yeah.
Right? And the playoffs specifically. Did I think you got to bring Serge back? But I'm going to take my guys, I think it was Chenny John. Chenny John was giving him the Gortat minutes when he's coming back getting healthy.
Okay.
Which, if you were a fan of the Clippers back then, a couple years ago, Marcin Gortat would basically play like 15 minutes to start. He was the starter.
Yeah.
And then he was just kind of done. And I think if you're ramping back up, that's not the worst idea for Serge with the starters, because he needs those reps.
Yeah, you get it. Yeah. You get high-intensity minutes, lower the minute load.
Yeah. So, but also, I don't know what Ty Lue, because I could also, I don't think it's Ty Lue is afraid of just being like, this is a new starting lineup for the playoffs, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think
I think we'll see it change. It's going to be based on matchup, but.
Fair.
So where I'm at is, I've kind of gone back and forth on this as well. Serge does have the most continuity and experience with that starting lineup, even with the changes.
Right.
I suppose. I'm still going to go ahead and say no.
Still want Zoo out there.
I think Zoo has earned the spot. And
yeah, some people brought that up in the comments too.
I've said it throughout the season. Like, I kind of don't care who's starting. It's about who's closing for me.
Clippers, but yeah.
I think that Zoo has earned the spot, man.
Arno Madathian, shout out to Arno. A great tweet. He said, we can't keep doing this to Zoo.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is he supposed to do? He has great chemistry with the starters and should honestly be averaging more minutes per game. More minutes to Ibaka, of course, is what he said. Clipper Zay said he wants Zoo in the closing lineups as well. Yeah, it's an interesting problem to have.
Definitely.
A lot of people think Zoo needs to close. That was a common theme.
Look, man.
Which I think a lot of people agree with. You know.
Look at the difference from when this team was having trouble closing out close games in the clutch or whatever you want to call it, to when we're like when we have these incredible come from behind victories.
Yeah.
Who's the difference in the closers?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I know it's Ivica Zubac.
It's a Vita Zubac.
At Oli Athadam, I think, at Twitter says, Serge spreads the floor better, a smarter defender, and Zubac kills against second string bigs. Keeping Zoo in the second unit with Rondo during the playoffs with PG and Kawhi starting off is 48 minutes of pressure on the opponent's defense.
That's a good call.
So the point about the backup bigs is good.
Yeah.
I like Zoo in any favor and any matchup against a backup big.
Yeah, the spreading the floor is an interesting consideration.
To start
too.
The game right. Like, you're really.
Yeah. It once again becomes the thing to me, though, is like, I don't know that Serge is the guy that you're spoon feeding to start the game. Like, he's not getting the Marcus.
But they do,
Morris
though. Because Serge was getting the first bucket a lot.
I guess that's
lot.
True. You know, that's very true. I stand corrected.
M. Jones Vandy says. He was like, I think you can make the argument that spacing is better to start the games with Serge. And he's like, Serge may.
Is it worth it, though, to spoon feed Serge? I guess is more what I'm asking.
I think for the first bucket, yes. And then after that. He said, Serge may start but not finish games. But then he also added a good point. Hell, Zoo hasn't even been finishing every game in lieu of small ball options lately.
Yes.
Which is a good point.
Which is something that we will likely see more of in the playoffs.
Definitely see that in the playoffs. Yeah, there's some interesting discourse on this because it doesn't feel, there's not a wrong answer.
No, I mean,
there's not an answer where you look, there's not an answer where you're just running your head into the wall like Trez against a very good skilled 7-footer. You're getting a guy who's spacing the floor in Serge. At DJ Kaus 23. Said bench unit of Serge, Nick, staggered PG or Kawhi, man, and Rondo is great to have.
Yeah.
But also a bench unit of Zoo, Nick, staggered PG. You know what I mean? Like there's no, I think the closing of the game is the issue, but in terms of starting, I think we're kind of good either way.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that one is great. Necessarily a significant downgrade from the other in terms of a starting thing. I think in closing things, once again, matchup dependent, I think that, you know, Zoo has been a difference maker in this stretch of games while Serge has been out. And I think that, you know, that merits a look, that merits something, which, you know, Ty Lue's aware of. I mean, I have full confidence that he's taking a look at it.
So that's what's nice, too.
Yes. Yeah.
We're not, if something's not working, we will see a change.
Yeah. My question is this.
What?
Game 7, Western Conference Finals.
How about finals?
Western Conference Finals.
Oh, is this specific to the Western Conference? Okay.
Yeah. AD at the five.
Oof.
Who do you want at the five for the Clippers in the starting?
Patrick
in the,
Patterson.
In the closing lineup. The AD stopper.
What do you mean? I would want...
And you can say either scenario, down two or up two.
Okay. I mean... All right, look, if we're down two, I'm not going to pick Serge because it was three-point shooting. I'm not going to be like the last shot.
You
goes
can also
to Serge.
Pick Morris. You could toss Morris in there.
I'm going to go Zoo.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Because I don't think they would pull out. If they pull AD, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going with Zoo.
Yeah.
And if there's a board to be had, I'm going with Zoo.
Yes, absolutely. Like, if it comes down to like a crucial rebounding scenario against a bigger team or, I mean, a bigger team in the Lakers who are maybe going at a quote unquote smaller look. I'm liking Zoo. There are some advantages, though, if you're going against a larger traditional center. Obviously, like we've seen against Rudy Gobert.
So what if they run small? What if they run Gasol AD? So then who, you know, like then it's kind of like, do I want Serge out there?
Morris.
Gasol's slow.
Yeah.
So Serge pulls him out.
Yeah.
On the offensive end.
Yeah.
And maybe Morris is at the four.
I mean, yeah, definitely.
Because then you have, yeah. I'm so excited for playoff basketball.
Let's get into
this. I'm so excited to see what Ty Lue can do. Coming up, we're going to be talking to people who know a whole hell of a lot about the Clippers. Zach Lowe and Young Omishuk. But first, Will, talk to me about Built Bars.
Look, Built Bar is the best protein bar on the market. No hyperbole. And the new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than before. Comes in 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors for my friends out there with allergies.
Nice.
The six new flavors include caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. No club sauce flavor yet, but I'm waiting. But the bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, which is very important to me. But most importantly, the bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, they're low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for the keto diet. And right now we have a very special offer for our listeners. For a limited time, they're giving away a free cooler with purchase.
Wow.
This is only while supplies last, so you're going to want to get on this. Very limited, very exclusive. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Now that we're satiated, we can put our mind to higher things like 100%. Placing bets. Would we do it?
You absolutely can. And you should always, if you're going to place bets, do it with a sound mind.
Yes.
You know, have some
full tummy and a sound mind.
Have some protein in you, drink a couple glasses of water, and then put your bets down at betonline.ag. Betonline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. And it's not just sports. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You could have won a bunch of money. What was that goofy movie that won all the Oscars?
Nomadland.
I don't know what it's about. Nomadland. Sounds like a fun time. There's an octopus movie, too.
Yeah, that one looks fun.
Yeah, that guy, the octopus taught the man how to read, I'm pretty sure. You could have won on that. That won a couple Oscars. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Just head to the website, betonline.ag. Use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus. That's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Okay, so we're back with shavings. And surprise, surprise, someone from ESPN is talking about the Clippers in the national spotlight.
In a good way.
In a good way.
They got everything right.
Zach Lowe had an excellent episode about the Western Conference contenders. It was focused on the Lakers and the Clippers primarily. And they had the fabulous Young Onyesuke. If you're not reading his work, it's incredible. The guy's got an insane resume.
Such a crazy dude. His early beat career is nuts.
Yeah. But they had some praise for the Clippers.
They did.
They talked about, well, look, they talked about a little bit about, since we led off with it last segment, sort of the argument for Serge over Zoo.
Yeah.
With surprisingly, both fellas leaning Zoo.
I think it was... Sean Young, who was tweeting about this,
but he Shane was Young?
Shane Young, excuse me. Shane, Sean, you know how it goes. they were like, my barometer for if you really watch the Clippers is your opinion of Zoo.
Yeah.
And if you know how good he actually is for this team and stuff like that. So
tell me in half a last name if you watch the Clippers.
No, it's good to see Zoo getting credit too. Like on a national spotlight like this.
Yeah, for sure. Zed Lowe has actually been one of the people who have been pretty.
Not to say that he's not Zoo. For
yeah.
sure.
But no, it was interesting to see both guys leaning that way. I think that, you know, among the fans, it's obviously the most popular opinion.
Yeah.
They brought up another interesting debate, though, which I've kind of been mulling over in my head. I might have brought up on the show briefly, but another interesting debate is, should Reggie stay the starter when Pat Bev is back?
Oof.
I'm kind of leaning towards yay, if I'm being honest.
So I think I said this on last episode, but we don't know how much Pat Bev we're getting.
Yeah.
So my idea, and this is...
Stagger him out there.
Yeah. Start him.
Oh, that's the opposite.
Don't bring him...
What I'm thinking.
No, that's what I'm saying. Don't bring him back until he's 100% ready to go.
Yeah.
If it's the first round of the playoffs, if it's the second round of the playoffs, put him in the starting lineup. We don't know how much Pat Bev we're going to get.
You think that he'll be
and
back?
He will, but if they take the cautious approach to bringing him back, you know what? Like, there's just not. And I understand the flaws with this argument.
No.
But I don't think. I think it's really, really hopeful to think that we'll get a fully healthy postseason out of Pat Bev.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock on him as a player in any way.
It's unfortunate. I mean, you know, it's.
But I mean, it's just not been there. And it's.
Yeah.
Horrible luck and a really shitty hand, but no pun intended. But I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know which route to go.
So I think that your thought there definitely is more in line with what we saw from the coaching staff the last time he returned, which was he was back in the starting
lineup. Right in the starting lineup, buddy.
4 minute shifts.
Yeah.
Very short shifts. Which I think is an interesting way to go. I don't know, man. Once again, it's like the kind of prove it thing at the same time, too, though. Like, Reggie has been very competently running this offense.
Absolutely. I'm not. Yeah. And this is a knock on Reggie. He's been fantastic. But the 4 minute shifts thing, I like that.
Yeah.
If he's starting and it's 4 minute shifts, great.
Yeah. Start both of them. Move George to the bench.
I don't know about that.
Unleash him on people. I'm being facetious. I'm sorry.
That is a good argument, though. Or a good question, I guess.
Yeah.
Bevers Reggie.
Reggie has been the starting point guard for the majority of the games this season.
Yes, he has.
Team's looking pretty good.
Team is looking pretty good. Man, Tyloo has some tough questions to answer.
I mean, it's a good or terrible spot to be in. I'm not sure which you prefer.
Not really sure. Zach Lowe also brought up he thinks that the Clippers can definitely win the title.
All right.
Thanks for making the clip flip. Zach. He says they've diversified their shot portfolio enough to the point where they absolutely can 100% win the title.
Man, is he getting an invite to the Klipnik that we have after the
title win? Whoa. Oh. Oh, no. It smells like shit all of a sudden. Moving on. Funny stat snapshot. Last season, the Clippers averaged 33.5 three-pointers attempted a game. This season, 34.6. Last season, averaged just under 56 two-point attempts. This season, 53.
Nice.
So the shot profile, when you look at... Has marginally changed, but we've generated so many more quite literal open looks from three. That it's the motion that's helping everything out. That the threes look a lot better.
I mean, that's what I've been saying. And that's like the whole thing with, even if the historic clip at which we're hitting them doesn't carry over, just creating that good quality of looks is going to be a difference maker.
Yes. They also talk, and there's not as much of a reliance on the pick and roll in the second unit.
Yeah.
Which helps a lot. We're not just like, all right, man. Hey, best
two guys, do it.
Hey, best pick and roll of all time. Let's do it. They also, Terrence Lowe thinks Terrence Mann has earned a spot in the playoff rotation.
I think that's fair.
I think it's matchup-based for sure.
Matchup-based and, like, I don't know, man. He's a utility guy. He can...
Yeah. You need energy. You need someone to run straight to the rack. Like
possibly get a stop or a steal.
Yeah.
Speed things up in transition. I mean... look, man, he's played really, really well. I would be surprised if he's going to be in the playoff rotation.
Absolutely. Moving on, we're closing out with something real nice. Patrick Patterson tweeted out, ever just take a second to look outside and realize you're actually here, that this is life and you exist in it? Hashtag grateful. First of all, happy that Patrick Patterson was having a good day.
Yeah.
Second of all, I asked if he was going to Golden Corral or if he was at Golden Corral.
Yeah.
Because formerly he has tweeted, he tweeted a very weird hypothetical about Golden Corral.
Yes, he is a fan.
And he said, wish. What are the odds we could get Patrick Patterson to go to Golden Corral with us?
So what's the deal? Did they completely
shutter? It's a buffet.
No. I know what a Golden Corral is, but like, did the company completely shutter or just some of them?
I think just some of them.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I think the chances are fairly high.
Yeah.
And I think by fairly high, I mean we have a 16% chance of this happening.
All right. I'll go. I mean, I'll roll the dice. I also like to live dangerously.
I haven't been to a buffet in a very long time. You know what? Still seems kind of like a weird idea, all things considered.
Yeah.
Shout out to the inventor of sneeze guards.
Shout out to the inventor of sneeze guards. Also, 4 B's. Maybe the salad bar is better than Golden Corral's.
All the 4 B's heads, if you're listening still at this point and you like 4 B's, let us know on Twitter. Shout out to everyone who likes 4 B's. Also, I know I said that it was a bad joke earlier. I think Clip Nick is maybe kind of good.
You hated it.
I did hate it.
You're uninvited.
Okay, I'll have my own.
Nope.
Nope. The name has been trademarked.
Nope. You go to jail for that day. The rest of Clipperland is going to be at the Klipnik. You're in jail.
I'm in jail during the Klipnik.
You're in jail.
I'm released when the last person leaves the Klipnik. Yes. Thursday's episode. Whew, recap of the game against the Suns. Going to be a big one.
I cannot wait.
I'm nervous.
I'm so pumped.
I'm excited. Thursday, talking about what we want to see more of, or maybe less of, in Clipperville. And then, of course, whatever else happens now and then in Clipper Land.
Whoa, so many addresses.
We got a lot of irons in the fire. Where can these fantastic people tell their significant other they were listening to us instead of, you know, maybe making dinner or something?
You can listen to us while making dinner. You can just tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. Sure, yeah. But if you're more of a headphones person or a whatever person, you can check us out on iTunes with the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. And hey, like we mentioned up top, we come at you Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific.
Yes.
We would love to have your listen.
We absolutely would. I will see you guys at the Klipnik. I have been
positive. You will not.
I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.